Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Yesterday, we had former State Representative Joe Marino on, who worked part of the deal relative to the parking garage, commercial property, and some other improvements in Gretna as a result of dollars being sent down from the state of Louisiana. There's also some local dollars that are being spent on this project as well. And there seems to be a difference of opinion, and maybe a huge difference of opinion, as to whether or not this was done in an appropriate fashion or not. And we gave them the opportunity to put on their case. And today we give the opportunity to Councilwoman Jennifer Van Ranken, who is Councilwoman at Large, who has a different opinion. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Noel. I appreciate you having me.
So, Jennifer, I just wanted to get a couple of things out of the way first.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of rhetoric around this issue. Do you believe that there's anything that was done here that's illegal?
Potentially. And I say that because, again, I have not had the opportunity to vet everything to conclusion, but I do know on the front end I have a lot of concerns. And so the three concerns for me.
So
and look,
wait a second. Let me ask you something. So what you're saying is that your ignorance of some facts equates to the potential illegality?
Not my ignorance of anything.
Well, you just said you're not aware, and you hadn't seen all of the particulars. So that's ignorance of facts.
Because they haven't been released, because they have not been publicly made available. So let me tell you, from my perspective. Look, I like.
So give
Joe
me an
Marino.
Example, but give me one that has not been released, because I watch video of multiple council meetings. I read the transcripts of the Ethics Commission. I think you guys, members of the council, have voted on this as many as 7 times, from the lease to everything that's out there. So what has not been released?
If you try to Google and find the RFP that this committee of people put out, it's difficult to find. And I only got a copy when Dave Colvin, the attorney for JRI and JFI, finally sent that to us directly, because it's not available publicly. Also, I've never seen the full plan of what we're building.
Wait a second.
Are you going to let me lay out what I haven't received?
No, but I understand. Yeah. But to say that I Googled something and it wasn't readily available, to try and equate that to not being fully transparent, there's a lot of stuff that I Googled about government that's not readily available. That doesn't mean that they're not transparent, and it doesn't mean that it equates to being illegal.
Let me be more specific.
I think Dave Colvin may be, and I know Dave Colvin well, I think he may be the chairman of JFI or that.
He's not the chairman, he's the attorney.
The attorney.
Let me be specific. No, you asked me a question at the top of the show, which you started with, is do you think there's anything illegal? My answer would be yes. My personal opinion is that this deal, as it's structured, is not legal. And I'll tell you why. The land lease, Jefferson Parish taxpayer-owned land in Gretna, has a value. We have a land lease, that gives taxpayers a single dollar per month back in return for that land. The Cabela test that the AG of the state of Louisiana and the state Supreme Court have laid out, it is a three-prong, very specific test. I think we fail, and that deal fails legally, to meet that three-prong test. I don't think taxpayers are getting equal value, at least equivalent value in return, is the legal standard.
And who is the land lease to?
I don't think a dollar is that.
Who is the land lease to?
JFI and JRI, and they're paying the parish and the taxpayers
It's to JRI. So let's talk about JRI. JRI is a public benefit corporation set up under state statute, Revised Statute 39-1051. And the reason I know all of this is because I've done all of this as the sheriff.
Sure.
And what it provides for is the creation or designation of public benefit corporations to finance the construction, renovation, and operation of public properties and facilities. Public entities are hereby authorized to create one or more public benefit corporations or designate by resolution or otherwise authorized act an existing nonprofit corporation to be such a public benefit corporation pursuant to this part solely for the purpose of entering into agreements and engaging in financing arrangements, including new market tax credit transactions to plan, renovate, construct, lease, sublease, manage, operate, and improve public property and facilities within the jurisdiction of the public entity, notwithstanding any restrictions and prohibitions in RS 12202.1. Now, the interesting thing about the Cabela test is that doesn't apply to a financing agency that is really quasi-governmental. I know it. It's a commercial establishment. It's a commercial establishment. The public benefit corporation is acting on behalf of Jefferson Parish.
No, I disagree with you. I think we still have to meet the Cabela test. And I think while the JRI and JFI can exist and can do a task with this money and legally exist, I don't think it means the taxpayers have to get a bad deal. I think that land lease needs to be
How is it a bad deal for the taxpayer when it's a quasi-governmental agency representing Jefferson Parish? It says it right here in the statute why it's created.
Yeah, but also we have said, and if you look to the law, we have to get equal value for the taxpayers. The exception to that is when there is a CEA, you have to lay out why you're doing something differently, but you still have to meet Cabela. You still have to get equal value in return, and our cooperative endeavor, leasing this land, gives taxpayers a dollar. I don't know a single landowner that will lease a property for a dollar.
It gives the taxpayers a dollar and the improvements thereof by virtue of
we're giving
of
them
the $10 million
for the improvements.
I disagree with you there as well. You're not giving $10 million for improvements.
Yes, we are.
You're giving $10.3 million as a match to state capital outlay is what you're
not
giving
correct.
That for.
That's
really?
The smokescreen. And let me tell you why, Newell. That is the
So where's the 25% match? Where do you understand a 25% match to the state capital outlay dollars that are coming for a parking garage, commercial leasable space, a linear park, underground drainage improvements in that area? My office building used to be right next door to that lot. I know it extensively. I know the flooding that used to go on there. And the other things that they're getting as a result of this $28 million capital outlay. Where is that money coming from?
So again, in my opinion, it's a smokescreen that they're building in to
No, this
million.
Is not opinion. You say
okay, let me tell you
say
then why.
You say that wait a second. You say that this is a $10.3 million gift.
Yep.
You know as well as I that in the state capital outlay, because you sit in those Green Book meetings just like I used to sit in those
yes,
Green Book
sir,
meetings.
I do.
And they've been discussed, and they have a priority as it relates to this project in Jefferson Parish. Everybody knew about it, and everybody knew what the match is. So you're telling me, as a councilwoman at large right now, that you don't know where the 25% match to that state capital outlay money is coming from? Because
nope.
They say it's the 10.3 million.
Different than that.
They say it's the $10.3 million. You're saying no, that's a smokescreen. So where is it?
Very different than that, Noel. So respectfully, I have sat in capital outlay projects for the parish of Jefferson for 15 years now as COO of this parish and as a councilwoman. We all know well that Jefferson Parish normally pursues our state match. And we're fortunate because we have money always to do a match. We normally, as a parish, put our local dollars into architectural and engineering plans for whatever it is we're pursuing. And then we ask the state to consider that our match. And then the state gives us construction dollars. That is our norm. And if you look at any project the parish pursues, that is far more than not, if not always, the way we approach something. This is not being done that way because I think they want all the local money going into the brew pub and taco restaurant, so the state will not look at it, will not vet it, and just chalks it off as our matching money. We don't need that to be our match. I would much prefer if the match were our norm, put up our money to architecturally and engineeringly prepare these projects so the state then gives us the money for construction. I don't have a problem with any of the projects. But our match should not be the building.
So you think that they're writing a check to two tenants in the sum of $10.3 million?
No, sir. That is not my understanding. The tax dollars, the $10.3 million, will go to JRI and JFI to empower them to construct this building that will be leased to a taco restaurant and a brew pub. That is how the process is working. What I'm saying
there's a parking garage there.
No, the parking garage was pulled out. The parking garage was pulled out, in fact, Noel, and I'll give you an exact date of when it happened because you say this was voted on seven times. Yeah, in tiny little pieces so you can't see the whole. In December 6th of last year, at our council meeting, when District 1 moved the money to construct this project, the parking garage was removed from that project, not from capital outlay, but from the project that JRI and JFI will construct. So even as recently as December, the pieces keep moving and things keep changing. It never has been presented to taxpayers as a whole project, and it never has gotten public comment allowed on this project. It comes in tiny little pieces to obscure the whole. And so that's what I'm saying. Even as recently as December, the parking garage now got removed. And the crazy thing, and this is what I think is nuts for us to go to the state and say, we really need parking. We really need you to pay for a parking garage. But we're going to, in the interim, build on our parking lot, build a brew pub and a taco restaurant. Well, how badly do we need a parking garage when I'm going to build on it and then turn around and ask the state for money to build a parking garage? That's backwards. That's why I'm saying they keep using a larger project, which I agree with all the elements.
How could it be backwards when 3 years ago is when they got these dollars originally committed on capital outlay?
No, sir. There's no money from the state yet committed on the parking garage. $0. So I think we're shooting ourselves in the foot, in fact, to say, I'm going to start construction on a parking lot, but we really need parking. And oh, by the way, state, give me money for a parking garage. I think we're doing it backwards, and we're shooting ourselves in the foot by doing it in this manner. We don't have a dime yet committed for the parking garage. That is our request to the state.
Well, I think it falls into priority that, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say in this month coming up in December is when that decision will be made, right?
We don't have a dime yet. That's all I've said. And I think it's backwards.
I'm asking you the question. Isn't it a fact that in December this is supposed to happen relative to state capital outlay?
What are you saying, that all the commitment for all the projects will be there?
That the commitment for this and the dollars will be there.
No, I don't believe that's the case.
I thought I read something somewhere
we will have to go back next legislative session and get this money.
Isn't it the case because you have funds coming from multiple sources? So, for example, JFI may not be the entity that's dealing with the garage.
No, I hope
because
they're not.
Because it's state funds. My appreciation is that JFI is not going to be handling the garage portion of the contract.
They were until December, and I hope they're not, because they haven't handled our current parking garage well. We are paying on a parking garage. I had a gentleman last night at a West Bank civic meeting. He said, why do we have to pay for parking on the West Bank to come to the government building when people on the East Bank at the Yenny building do not? My answer to that question is because JFI and JRI have not managed well the one parking garage they have constructed. We constructed the garage in 2000, and we haven't paid it off yet. And JFI and JRI committed to the Parish of Jefferson and the taxpayers that they would use the revenue from the parking garage to pay off the debt on the garage. You know what's not happening? That. We, the parish, we, the taxpayers, are paying the debt on the garage still, and the money that JFI collects on the parking garage is not going to pay down the debt. Why am I going to ask them to build something else when they haven't held true to the first and only thing they ever built?
Well, because you know that a lot of the spaces in there were negotiated out of it, because some of those spaces were negotiated out of it for the benefit of the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office. I know, because
yes,
I sat in those meetings and negotiated. So that was
only
done. Let me finish. That was
revenue.
Done. So you're not telling the whole story yet again, because it was done intentionally.
That's not
and
correct.
They knew exactly what they were doing, because they associated a certain number of spots to the sheriff's office, and we negotiated a greater number of spots in the aftermath of that deal being done that we were not going to pay for. And
that was
a reality. And JFI did not have any control over that situation, because it was a mandate that was placed upon JFI by the Parish of Jefferson. So that
You're
is
correct.
Not a fair characterization of JFI falling short from a fiduciary perspective as it relates to that project. It's misleading.
Let me finish.
But wait a minute. The same way
you're
that
you're not being
that,
fair. You are only giving
but,
part of the information right there, Newell. What you said
no, because,
is correct. What you
but
said
you
is correct.
You're not coming forward with those facts at all. You
no,
just
no, no.
make these generalized comments, and
oh, no,
I know
I'm
differently
be
because I was at the table. I was there
I'm
at the
be
table when that
with
happened.
You. There's nothing general about this. You are correct that of the spots in the parking garage, a lot of those spots go to parish entities, go to JPSO, go to jurors, go to courts. So that means we're collecting less revenue. That is absolutely true. We're taking in less revenue in that parking garage than we otherwise would. But we still collect about $300,000. And that $300,000 is not going to pay down the debt, as it's obligated.
Not totally,
by
because
JFI.
They have to maintain. They have to maintain the facility with those dollars as well. I mean,
they're
these
not
these
living
buildings
up to the terms of the
these,
contract. If you look
buildings,
at the contract and tell me different, Newell, I will appreciate
because
it.
They,
but right
because
now
they
not.
Can't. Because they can't, because the revenue stream has been minimized by virtue of parish government taking spots that otherwise were going to be revenue generating parking spots.
You are correct.
You can't break this down. You can't break this down and say, well, they're not living up to the terms and conditions of the contract when
we didn't
live up to the terms and conditions of the contract, meaning the parish, because we eliminated spots that were going to be revenue generating spots.
Let me ask you this question.
The $300,000 is not enough because in order to maintain the garage, you have to have the money set aside in reserve to do the maintenance in the garage as well in order to keep it a viable capital asset for a lengthy period of time. I mean, you know, go spend some time looking at the numbers. Yes, please.
Let me ask you this. If we are taking in $300,000+ a year in income on the garage, and the debt service is $400,000, and the agreement in writing is that the money collected should go to pay down the debt, and then the parish of Jefferson is on the line for the extra. So let's say $50,000. That's supposed to be in writing what the agreement is and how this should work. That is not what is happening, and there's not an accounting of where the $300,000+ is going, but it's not going where it should have been to pay down the debt. That's my problem.
Well, let me ask you something. Have you looked at the financials? Because when you start taking revenue out of a project and you're setting aside dollars for the maintenance of that facility, which in many cases the bonds themselves are going to require that you do so, and you have other restrictions that you have to meet, I don't know where you think the money's going to come from, because they allow jurors to park there for nothing, JPSO employees, court employees, and there were the multitude of parking spaces there that were supposed to generate revenue.
So normally what happens, I can only tell you what normally happens. And normally, if we
have an agreement. But this is completely, it's completely abnormal. And you're trying to hold JFI.
Well, it is abnormal. That's my
You're trying to hold JFI responsible for something that they had no control over. Because the terms and conditions of the original deal. Yes, you did.
You're misspeaking.
You just said, the reason that you are suspicious about JFI being involved in this as a public, JRI is a public benefit corporation, was the parking lot experience. And when I point out that that changed, I know it changed because I was at the negotiating table with the parish. I know it changed, and everybody knew that when it did change, it would not be able to meet the terms and conditions of the original contract. It was impossible.
What? My perception
you
is
know
we're
it.
Talking
I know it.
And oranges.
Everybody knows
no,
it.
I will tell you, you are correct. We made decisions that have given free spots, parking spots in that garage, which reduced the overall income coming in. That said, whatever income is coming in, yes, less income, but whatever income coming into the garage is by obligation in writing supposed to go to pay down the debt. And it is not. And it is not transparent where that money is going.
That is not true. And you know that's not true because there's other terms that there's other terms and conditions that have to be met as well. And I just pointed out one, capital maintenance of the building. Capital maintenance of the building. Well, why don't you just look at the accounting of the thing to see where is the money going?
Because they're not transparent. That's why.
Are you kidding me? They're subject to the public records law. All you have to do is call JRI and send them a public record if you want. It's all there. That's how I found out when I was...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Negotiating my parking spots, I wanted to find out exactly what was happening, so I ended up getting those documents through I didn't even have to do it. I said I was going to send a public records request over to them.
So the council person should have to do a public records request of where our money is going? That's kind of crazy.
I didn't say you had to. I said you always have that as an option. I would think if you call, have you ever called and asked them for it? I take with your silence that answer would
taxpayer.
Be no. All right, we got to get to a break. We'll be right back. We're visiting with Jennifer Van Ranken, Councilwoman at Large for Jefferson Parish. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're visiting with Councilwoman Jennifer Van Ranken, Councilwoman at Large, and has some opposition to the structure of a project that's called the Kingfish Riverview Development Project in Gretna. And I apologize. I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about what other issues that you have with this project.
Yeah. And look, let me say this, because I said this to a civic group last night. I'd really like us all to quit fussing and start fixing. I have a very finite list of things that I think are wrong with this project. One is what I mentioned earlier, that taxpayers are getting a dollar in the land lease for a valuable piece of land. I do not think that passes legal muster. It's not equivalent value in return. The two other things I really have a problem with are the leases for the businesses themselves. When I asked who drafted the lease that was put forward for approval for the Port Orleans Brewery and for the Port Orleans Restaurant, who drafted these leases? No one can answer that question. Who decided there's zero base rent? Who decided on these terms? No one can tell me. There is zero base rent. So look, Noel, on a standard contract, and this is not my field, but this is in asking questions, my understanding is any good commercial lease has several elements. And you get base rent, you usually get additional rent, you get a percentage of the revenue, you get a CPI. In our contract, we get zero base rent, we are getting a percentage of revenue, no CPI. So why are things missing? But shouldn't we be able to answer the question, who made these decisions and who drafted these leases? No one can answer that, Newell. The businesses drafted them. And that's
I don't know that you've asked the right person the questions.
I asked the parish attorney, I asked Dave Colvin.
This is what you said in what you sent me this morning.
Yes.
Brew pub lease, zero rent free. That's
base
misleading.
Rent.
No, it says zero rent free. That's what you're sending out. You're not saying zero base rent. So there's a couple of ways, because I've negotiated them. I know about these commercial leases. You can calculate a percentage rent with what is called a natural break point, which is talking about a minimum base rent that you're talking about. That's one opportunity. The other opportunity is to calculate this percentage gross rent with an artificial break point, which is a different approach depending on the nature and the character of the property, or you can calculate the percentage rent as your total rent of gross sales, depending on the nature and the character of the property and what investment the tenant is actually going to make. Now, my understanding is the tenant here is going to make over $2 million investment into this property. And there is a lease set up on monthly equipment rental of two or three items, not unusual to find this in a commercial lease, that are going to end up being immovable by destination. You're a lawyer. You know what that means, is that it is permanently affixed and attached to the structure of the building and would create damage if removed. So
correct.
The parish or the entity agreed to put that in, and that's that $1,000 monthly equipment rental. But none of this is explained in this handout. This handout is misleading. Totally misleading. Because you're not saying base rent. You said zero rent free. They're paying 3% of the gross sales for the first 30 months, and then it goes to 6% of the gross sales afterwards. Traditional rents, yes, you did. Traditional rents go anywhere from 2% to 10%, depending on the character of the property. So, for example, if you're in a location that you only anticipate a certain number of sales to be daytime, we all know that the population of that geographic area is far greater in the morning and during the day and in the afternoons than it is in the evenings.
Let's be fair. Just read what I sent you this morning, but you did not read but the first few words, because the bullet point that I sent you was this completely. Brewpub lease, zero rent, $1,000 monthly equipment rental, 3% gross revenue, revenue going to the nonprofit, the parish.
Below market, 8 to 10%. No, because
we're getting 3 to 6. We're below market.
That's not the market.
So look, we're lawyers, and we can argue.
Where did you get your market data from?
From JEDCO and from business people.
JEDCO approved this deal. Would approve a deal?
Actually, they did. They did not. So let me point two things out, because this is the heart of the matter. We're not supposed to be negotiating this lease on the air. The two things that I can't get answers to is who drafted the lease and who looked at these leases on behalf of the Jefferson Parish taxpayers to make sure the terms are protective of the parish and protective of the taxpayers. What commercial real estate attorney negotiated this for the taxpayers? We get an answer, no one. The parish attorney said she didn't look at it for the taxpayers. JEDCO said they didn't look at it for the taxpayers. And Dave Colvin said he didn't look at it for the taxpayers. And no one can tell us who drafted these leases. Whatever the terms, and you're right, these can be put together a number of different ways, all acceptably with give and take. But when we did not have an expert at the table for the taxpayers, something is wrong. When we don't know the origin of who drafted these leases, something is wrong. I'm not arguing the specific terms with you. I think the terms are subpar. I think it's a sweetheart deal, and we can't say who looked over it for the taxpayers of Jefferson. This is public money, Newell. Shouldn't we have had an expert negotiate these leases? Because if these were just created by two businesses who handed them over with their wish list and their terms, and it's taxpayer land and taxpayer money, why can't we answer those questions?
Well, I think Joe said yesterday in the interview who actually negotiated it, and I don't remember. I was looking through my notes. I thought I wrote it down. I mean, he offered it up. But how do you know that for a fact?
The parish attorney said they don't know, Dave Colvin doesn't know, and JEDCO doesn't know. We've never been able to find out. And I was at a meeting with Belinda Constant and Gretna Chief Arthur Lawson last night. I said it again, and nobody can say who drafted the leases. That's why I think the answer is probably the two businesses, which really means it's a sweetheart deal, and taxpayers.
Well, it doesn't necessarily. It doesn't necessarily mean that. I mean, it's not unusual. It's not unusual for the tenant. Well, I don't know that you asked them the question directly. I wasn't there.
I asked them directly. But all I can tell you
is it's not unusual. You know this for a fact, for the lawyer or the tenant to offer up what they view as a lease, and you decide
Absolutely.
Right then and there, are we going to do a red line on that lease, or are we going to promote
our own lease at that point for the taxpayers
at that point in time or not, right?
And we haven't had an expert red line it for us. That's the
but
problem.
You still,
the taxpayers
but you still haven't
had anyone looking at this.
And so what's the next issue that you said you had?
Look, I think, and this is what I said to Mayor Constant and to Chief Lawson last night, I said, let's put our effort, instead of fussing, let's put our effort into fixing this. We can renegotiate the land lease to get the taxpayer fair value for the land they own, and that's not a dollar.
A lease that was signed a year ago.
Yeah, and I raised an hour of questions at that meeting about these leases. And I fussed that it wasn't transparent then because the leases were only released
but
to the public an hour before the lease. You know why I voted for it? And I told the taxpayers last night at the West Jefferson Civic Coalition. It was a week after the election, and I assumed that maybe there were answers somewhere, and I didn't want to be on the record voting against a significant West Bank project because I'm passionate about the West Bank. But when I looked for the answers, they weren't there. So I put my concern on the record a year ago. I supported it because it's an important West Bank project, and now I'm shocked to find the answers still are not there.
All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Councilwoman-at-Large Jennifer Van Ranken. Excuse me. We will be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Jennifer Van Ranken, Councilwoman-at-Large, Jefferson Parish. Jennifer, there's been an allegation that this was not publicly bid. You dealt with a project called Eat Fat City. And if someone had made the allegation that the process that you used was not publicly bid, what would your response be?
So part of my concern, my third concern with this whole deal is the lack of transparency. And Fat City and that deal is the perfect apples and orange comparison. When I put out publicly a solicitation, we advertised it in the newspaper, we advertised it online, and purchasing sent it to a number of firms. We got responses from 6 or 7 firms, all of the top local firms in our area. This deal was advertised only in the paper.
Wait. Hold on a second. I'm asking you a specific question.
Yes.
If somebody made the allegation that you did not publicly bid that project, what would your response be? Did you or did you not?
My response would be very much what yours and Joe Marino's was yesterday. You can do a public bid. You can do a CMAR. We were doing Fat City as a CMAR, which is the same thing they're pursuing here. I don't believe that it has to be a public bid, but it has to be transparent.
So why would y'all make the allegation that this was not publicly bid?
I have not. That is the Inspector General. I have not.
So the Inspector General makes the allegation that it wasn't publicly bid, but it was a CMAR. And
that's for
you would agree that the CMAR is every bit as onerous and even more so in some respect than a public bid, right?
Absolutely, yes. The CMAR is the way of the future, and I advocate for that. But it has to be transparent, and I don't know that they have fully been transparent. I can show you where I placed ads and who responded. If you're only placing a limited amount of information out there and only getting one response, I think that's a red flag. A CMAR is a good way to go, but I don't think they've been transparent.
So you're saying they got only one response?
They got one response to the RFP that they put out advertised in the newspaper from a single brew pub entity. I've had calls from other brew pubs saying, how come I didn't know about this? How come I didn't participate? How come I didn't have an opportunity?
I'm talking about the construction side. You're talking about the lease of space that would have already been constructed.
I'm talking about the original RFP.
On the lease of the space.
Correct.
So on the construction side, which is where the bulk of the money is spent in constructing the facility.
Yes.
You don't see a situation where they didn't do exactly what you did in your project. I mean, but your project ended up in a lawsuit, and y'all ended up having to pay $4.75 million to settle
only
it for
to
a
buy
whole
the
host
land.
Of reasons.
Yeah, only for to buy the land at appraised value.
Yeah, at $3 million. But the reality is,
it was actually four. But it was actually four. But it was for the appraised value of the property. So we bought properties, and we are land banking that property. That's not a loss. That's an investment. It's land banking.
Well, that'll be the topic of another
show. Different issue.
Maybe.
Yes. Yes.
It is a different issue, but. So why do you think it's misleading to say this project has not been publicly bid when it's a completely legitimate process that you just advocate for, you know, meaning a CMAR, you know, utilizing a CMAR? You believe in them. Everybody uses them.
Correct. That's for actually Jefferson Parish has never used it. The Fat City project was going to be the first CMAR. And now this one. I'm a strong believer in CMAR. We do need to get our plans tight so that we know we're not going to have changes, because if the changes come at our request, then the price does go up. So even CMAR has some vulnerability. That's why I want to see the plans and know specifically what we're building. No, look, it's the inspector general who has to ask why she and her team are adamant on public bill.
Well, the allegation is that you've been in contact with the allegation is that you've been in contact with the IG on this, even to the extent of asking her to review your slides as it relates to
make sure they're factual.
You're factual. I mean, it never occurred to you to maybe let the IG know that they're utilizing a CMAR?
No. And let me specifically say, I have not collaborated. It's something that people are not being accurate about. When the IG is identifying a topic to look into and pursue and issue a report or whatever, that's her purview exclusively. And I am not in contact at all on that part of the process. Once there is a public letter and a public document, the IG raises concern, and the council or the administration has to work with the IG to fix it, to negotiate the solution. So after the public letter is out there, I absolutely have been in touch with the inspector general, much like the IG in New Orleans has embedded an employee in the code department. We're supposed to work together once the concern is raised. So yes, after the letter, I have worked with the IG to say, make sure my facts are correct, make sure I'm not missing something, because I'm concerned and my red flag are up too. Doesn't mean I'm going to agree with everything in that report. Doesn't mean we're going to be on the same page about everything.
But
I have a different job to do.
It never occurred to you to give the IG a heads up. Hey, by the way, they used a CMAR, which is a totally legitimate process.
Nope. She's got her world. Okay. I have mine.
Well, it seems as though you asked her to cross over into your world by approving your...
I did not.
By looking
said,
at your
slides. Please make sure
at your slides.
Before I give people facts, I want to make sure they're 100% accurate. I see nothing wrong with that. It was done on a public computer. It's open and available to everyone to say, please make sure these facts are correct.
But don't feel the same obligation to let her know where she's incorrect on something.
You're talking about something different.
No, I'm not. I mean, I think it's just legitimate. They're yelling in my ear. We've got to get a hard break. I appreciate you joining us today. Jennifer Van Ranken, Councilwoman at Large, Jefferson Parish. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, we're going to treat today pretty much like a Thursday, because tomorrow's going to be a free-for-all Wednesday since we're heading into the Thanksgiving weekend. We'll talk about repealing no-fault divorce. Some people are scared that when Trump becomes president, no-fault divorce is going to disappear.
All righty, Scoot's headed your way. Stay tuned. Hope you have a great Tuesday evening. We'll see you tomorrow.